We turn to the book of Revelation in chapter 19. For those who are visiting, we've been working our way steadily through this book, and I will say it's been quite challenging. But I will once again try and be as simple as I possibly can. Our verses are verse 11 to the end of chapter 19. And if there's one particular text, it's verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And that really sets our scene for this morning's message. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming to judge, but did you notice the little phrase, and to make war? We've been introduced already to the thought of Armageddon. Well, we're going to get it again today. And whoever does it next week, they're going to do it next week as well. So there we are. You'll know a bit more about Armageddon. Now, if you want a title, it's very simple. The King is coming. The King is coming. So if you've asked what the sermon was about this morning, well, you can't fail to remember that, can you? The King is coming. And I'm sure you've got already in mind what verse I'm referring to. Now, this is the last part of the sixth vision. Revelation is divided up into seven visions. We're in the last part. Chapter 19 is the last part of the sixth vision. And in this chapter, there is a lot of detail about the Lord, his coming, about the judgment that will come. And last week you thought about the glory that awaits the children of God at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, if you were to look at all the seven visions, you will notice this. That each time it gets near the end of the vision, there's always a lot more said about the end time, about the day of the Lord, about the glory that awaits the Christian, and about the judgment that awaits the unbeliever. Someone's put it like this. Look at a pipe organ. There is a small pipe here, but the next pipe is a bit longer. And the next pipe is a bit longer still. And the next pipe is even longer. And that's how the visions work out. Right at the end, there's more detail about that great final day and the glory that awaits the Christian. And of course, verse 9, we enjoyed that verse. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But in our chapter, there are two suppers. Did you notice that? There are two suppers. Well, verse 9 tells us about the marriage supper of the Lamb. But did you notice verse 17? And it says this, in the second part of verse 17, it says, come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Now that invitation is given to some unusual creatures, the fowl of the air. So here is an invitation for all the fowl of the air to come to the great supper of God. You say, whatever is that all about? Well, you just hold on a few moments and I'll explain it to you. But it's once again very interesting. When you looked at the fifth vision, at the end, chapter 16, there was a great earthquake and hailstones and the world was falling to pieces. It was a describing the end day, when God comes in judgment. In the fourth vision, ended in chapter 14, it was a picture of a great harvest. The sickle was thrust in, and the harvest was gathered. And it was another picture of the great judgment day. And that's what the fowl of the air, being invited to God's great supper, is all about. About the terrible judgment that will come on the unbeliever at the end of the world. again we'll be introduced to Armageddon near the end of these verses. But just to prove my point about how it gets longer and longer, each vision, and how it dwells on the end time and the last day, the blessing of the righteous, the terrible judgment that will come on the wicked. When we get to the seventh vision, which will start next week, you'll begin with, yes, Armageddon again, about the great judgment, and then it will go in to the glory of the church and the great new heavens and the new earth and the wonder of the new Jerusalem, which of course is the church itself. So that's next week. Now, do you remember in chapter 16 it says, blessed, chapter 16 verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and that they see his shame. And the great thought of the Bible is this. The king is coming. And you need to be ready. You do not need to be asleep. The king is coming. The story is told, and it's a true story, I understand, of the fishermen of Scotland. They would set out on a Monday morning into the North Sea and go and get their catch through several days and return at the end of the week with all the fish they had caught. They would put in their tanks the water from the North Sea to keep the fish alive while before they returned to harbour. So here are all the fish they caught. They put them in the tanks to keep them alive. When they returned to harbour and sold their fish, there was one man with his catch. He always seemed to get more money for his fish because they were healthier and livelier. Now the other fishermen, they couldn't work this out. How come we fish them from the North Sea, we put water from the North Sea in our tanks, but his fish are better than ours? They couldn't make it out. Well, when the man died, the secret was let out. In his tank, he had a catfish. Catfish like having a good old nibble of other fish. They like feeding on other fish. So the fish in his tank, what were they doing? They were escaping from the catfish all the time. They were swimming away from the catfish. They didn't want to be caught. So they were going round and round trying to escape the catfish. Whereas the fish in the other fishing boats, they just swam round lazily, indifferently, expecting the inevitable at the end of the day to be sold and eaten. You tell me, what makes a lively Christian? I'll tell you. They are watchful. They are expecting. They know that the Lord is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ told several parables where he portrayed, as it were, the church would be asleep when he returns in glory. Well, what a word this is, that we need to be watchful. We need to understand the days in which we live and be ready for the Lord's return. And it says that there is a particular blessing. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. It's talking about being ready for when the Lord returns. Now let me make some observations from our chapter and leave you with that important thought. Be watchful. Number one, the king is coming. Look at his appearance. And we go straight to verse 11. Verse 11, I saw heaven open and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make wars. Now remember, we're talking about symbolic language. All of these pictures are a painting, painted by God in order that we might understand spiritual truth. Now, the early Christians of the first century would have understood this picture very, very well. The Roman generals, after they returned from a conquest, from a victory in a great battle, they would ride amongst all their people on white horses to declare that they had been victorious over those of their enemies. And the white horse described, they are victorious. Now, of course, this is lovely. The king is coming from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have painted a wonderful picture. The king, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is victorious. Not only did he conquer death, not only did he conquer Satan, but he conquers all his world, all his enemies in this world. And he shows his victorious person in this great vision of riding on a great horse. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow to him. What a picture. Ah, do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ in his days of humiliation? He rode on a borrowed donkey into Jerusalem. Oh yes, there were some hosannas. But those hosannas soon turned into crucify him, crucify him. And our Lord Jesus Christ went humbly, meekly to the cross of Calvary in order to pay for his people's sins. But here we have this great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming again in glory as the victorious Lord Jesus Christ. The King is coming. Look at his appearance. And we all believe this, don't we? There will be a day when the clouds will part, the heavens will open, and the Lord Jesus Christ will appear in glory and will come again. The King is coming. Look at his appearance. The second observation is this. The King is coming. Think about his name. Now, if you are looking and listening to the reading of the Word of God, you will notice four times there are four names of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our verse 11, he is called Faithful and True. Verse 12, he has a name written that no man knew but himself. Verse 13, his name is called the Word of God. And in verse 16, he has a name on his thigh written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now in the Bible, when it speaks about the name of God or the Lord Jesus Christ, it is speaking about his attributes, his character, what he is like. There were four different names for our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, one name cannot tell us completely about the Lord Jesus Christ. He needs many names. And that's why we believe we shouldn't be one attribute Christians. If you ask Christians today what God is like, they'll say God is love, full stop. Don't be a one attribute Christian. Our Lord is wonderful in his person, in his attributes, and they are many. And we glory in the attributes of Christ. Now let's just think about these names. Verse 11 says, faithful and true. One who is sure and steadfast. One who does not lie or deceive. Everything he says is faithful and true. What a glorious description of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've been thinking about other people in the book of Revelation, haven't we? The beast, which represents the governments of this world. They deceive, they lie, they persecute the people of God. And then of course there was the false prophet. What does he do? He leads people astray with error, false teaching. He deceives with miracles, the false prophet. And then there was Babylon. And Babylon represents this world with all its bright lights and attractions and all that this world offers. There was a farmer once having a bit of a problem to get his pig into the trailer to take to the slaughterhouse. He couldn't get the pig in for the life of him. So this is what he did. He put a little bit of food on the ground in the way where the trailer was. And when the pig had eaten that, he put another bit of food a bit further on. And the pig made his way to that bit of food. He put a bit of food on the ramp of the trailer. And the pig made himself that way to eat that piece of food. And then he put some food just inside the trailer. And the pig made his way into the trailer. The gate was closed. And the pig was on his way to the slaughterhouse. What does Babylon do? What does this world do? It keeps men and women's eyes firmly in this world. They never look up to think about God and about eternity. They are so focused on the attractions of this world. They are heading to the judgment day unprepared. What a lesson that is for us. But here is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is faithful and true. I think this is correct. The middle verse, or verses of the Bible, are Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in princes. Oh, what words they are. Never trust man, but trust the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is faithful and true. Now, verse 12 tells us he had a name written that no man knew but himself. Now, this is really quite simple to understand. I cannot understand God. I cannot understand Christ. Only what he has revealed to me in the Bible can I understand. So who can understand God? Well, God can understand God. An eternal person can understand an eternal person. And here, this is speaking about the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He alone knows the greatness of his person. He alone knows the greatness of his love and grace. He alone knows the vastness of his wisdom. And he knows alone the greatness of his power. And the judgments that he will make will be good and right and correct. And so it's speaking about the greatness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful person he is. And then verse 13, we notice this. His name is called the Word of God. Well, I don't have to remind you what John chapter 1 verse 1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he was there right at the beginning, ever before this world was. He is an eternal person. He was with God, the second person of the Trinity. And he was truly deity. And yet the wonder is, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. But what are our verses teaching us? This very one who made the world, the very one who accomplished salvation, is coming to be the judge of this world. What a lesson that is to remind ourselves of the coming King. The King is coming to judge. And then, of course, verse 16. The name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Kings and queens come and go. Presidents come and go. This isn't a political comment, by the way. Prime ministers come and go. Dictators, generals, lords, they come and go. But all of them one day will stand before the one who is eternal, immortal, the one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they will stand before him in judgment. The King is coming. Think about his name. And then the third thing I want you to notice, the King is coming. Think about his judgments. Think about his judgments. You remember how chapter 19 began? There was a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. And they were rejoicing in the judgments of Christ. Now, think about his judgments. Verse 12, we have another insight into the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thought about this in chapter 1, verse 14. And once again, symbolic. His eyes were as a flame of fire. It means literally this. That every sin that has been committed in our world, every act of rebellion committed in this world, every law that has been defiantly broken, the Lord Jesus Christ will come and judge every sin. The thought of the flame is he's coming in his wrath to judge sin. So the King is coming to judge. Did you notice verse 14? And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, there's been a bit of a debate about this verse. Well, are they angels? Who are they? Well, little nobody me will suggest this. Have we read that little phrase before? Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Answer, we have. Verse 8 of our chapter. That to her, that's the church, the saints, was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And then we have the interpretation. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So it's speaking about the church. They will come with the Lord Jesus Christ to judge this world. Now there's a great verse in Jude. Jude is referring to Enoch. He prophesied this a long time ago. Jude 14 and 15, it says, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his, not angels, saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. The King is coming with his church. Now, this is my understanding. I don't know what your understanding is, but this is my understanding. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, the heavens will part. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 teaches us this. When the trumpet sounds, and there's the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ will rise first. And their souls will be reunited to their glorified bodies, and they'll meet the Lord in the air. And then it says this. And we which are alive will be changed in the moment. In the twinkling of an eye. And we will meet the Lord as he comes. And it goes on. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. The church will be with the Lord when he judges this world. And by his word, verse 15, by his word that proceeds out of his mouth, he will judge this world. It's a solemn thought, folk, and it does us well just to meditate on that great thought. Those friends you have, neighbours you have, colleagues at work, there is a judgment day coming. And if they are not a believer, what a solemn thought that is. Now in verses 17 and 18, once again we have a picture. This is where we read verse 17. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl of that fly in the midst of heavens, come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. So the fowl of the air are called to this great supper, which is a picture of the judgment day, to eat of the flesh of all these different types of people. You may say, whatever does that mean? Remember the golden rule. Where can we find something like that in the Old Testament? I'll take a simple one.